Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
My four-week placement in France has borne fruit in a different way than I intended. I went full of expectation that I was going to spend quite a lot of time working on the annotated version of the truth, instead of which I've done absolutely nothing on that whatsoever. The Lord completely overruled and just had me spend the time praying and really receiving from Him. And everything really has been focused towards the camp. It's been like having 4 weeks of preparation for the camp. And the camp is important every year. God always moves through His faithfulness. But this year is really going to be different. And it really is going to be, a very strategic time in God, not just for Kingdom Faith, but with much wider implications. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. There's so much really that I could share about all this, and I'm not going to try to talk about what God's going to do at the camp. Now, I'll do that more just leading up to the camp. This coming weekend I have to be away in Bedford doing, and then all next week I'm in Germany doing a conference, so it isn't really until after that that together we can just get focused on what the Lord is going to do there. But there's something that He wants to begin to do in us now, in order to prepare us for what He's going to do, not only with us, but with everybody during the camp. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, just seeing how many of you have got the truth with you. Verse 12, I do not claim to have received all that God has for me. Neither have I yet been made perfect. But I am always moving forward to take hold of everything that Christ Jesus had planned to give me when He laid hold of my life. My brothers, I know that I have not yet appropriated everything, but I maintain my focus. So I forget what lies behind me in the past, and I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Yes, I press on toward my goal, which is to gain the prize that God has for me when He calls me home to heaven in unity with Christ Jesus. If you are mature in the way you view spiritual things, then you will think in the same way. If you believe differently, God will bring the correction you need and make everything clear to you. At least continue to live in the good of what you have already received and do not slip back. Then if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. After all, what is unique about you? And what do you have apart from that which you have received through God's grace? If you received it as a gift, why boast as if you achieved it by your own efforts or goodness? You boast that you have already all you want, that you have become rich. You make it sound as if you were kings, and all of your own making without any reference to us. I wish you really were kings, for then we would also be kings with you. That is far from the case, for it appears to me that God has appointed us apostles to be the very end of the procession, the position given to those who have been condemned to die in the arena. It seems that we are a spectacle to everyone, to angels as well as men. Yes, we appear to be fools, but for the sake of Christ. Yet you make it appear that you are so wise in Christ. We appear weak, you claim to be strong. While you are honored, we are dishonored. And so on. Now, you put these two scriptures together and we come to some very interesting conclusions. We know that by God's grace we live in Christ. We know that God has given us the fullness of his life. And it's good to confess those things as truths because they are truths. And we know how important it is to speak the truth over our lives. But we've scarcely appropriated a fraction of what we have in Christ. And what Paul is really talking about is people who claim to have it all, but don't demonstrate it all. That actually what we have received of Christ is what is seen of him in our lives. Now, there is no doubt that he has given us the fullness of life. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But there's a gap between what he has given and what we have received. What we have actually appropriated of what he has given. And a mistake that we can make as Christians is to assume that we have it all when we don't. And therefore, we're living and ministering at a certain level, thinking that we have everything that we need to minister at that level. Whereas, in fact, there's a whole lot more that God wants to give and that he wants us to appropriate so that actually we do what we're doing at a totally different level from what we're doing at present. Now, as we read the epistles of Paul especially, but also, of course, John's Gospel is full of this, as you would expect, Paul is very strong on grace. And we know there's a lot of bad teaching about grace that is circulating at present. That grace is not God just turning a blind eye to disobedience and sin and all the rest of it. Grace is essentially what God gives. And Paul opens and closes all his letters, as do others, with this prayer, really, because it is a prayer. It's not just a greeting. It's a prayer that God will impart his grace to those to whom he's writing. And I've brought this out clearly in the truth, so that people can understand it's not a greeting, but it's a prayer of impartation. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart his grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is what God gives. He gives to those who deserve nothing the free, unmerited favor of God. Now, if Paul is so insistent as he is to pray that God will give and give and give, so that every time people read these letters, they begin, God wants to give, to impart something to you by his grace. And when he ends the letters, may that grace be given to you. If you turn to Revelation for a moment, right at the very end of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. The whole New Testament ends still with this emphasis upon grace. Now, if grace is what God wants to give, that means that he wants to give and give and give and give. Now, if God wants to give and give and give and give, if we are obedient, then we will receive, 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 receive. Because if God is constantly wanting to give and we're not receiving, there's a faith gap. There's an obedience gap. There's a love gap. And what God has had me do these last 4 weeks is to receive, 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 receive. He wouldn't allow me to do any work on the truth. He wouldn't allow me to do anything else except just receive through his word and by his spirit. Now, what we have to understand is that it is not a denial of what we have in Christ to say we need to receive. It's just an admission, along with Paul, that we have not yet appropriated everything that he came to give to us. And you can only minister to others out of what you have received. And we don't want to be like those Corinthians who say, we have it all, therefore we can minister out of all. Because in Christ we have it all, but we have not yet appropriated all that we have in Christ. So the more we appropriate from him, the more we allow him to impart to us by his grace, then the more of his life and his love and his power, his activity will actually be revealed in what we do. And that's why it's important to have this message now, so we can begin during these next weeks leading up to camp, 3 weeks or so, that we can receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and receive, so that by the time we go to camp, we've had 3 weeks of constantly receiving. And we are getting so full, you know. And yet, you see, we will give out of what we've received, and that leaves room to receive even more. Because this is part of the whole business, that when you receive, you have to give away what it is you have received. And that increases your capacity to receive still more. I might say that the early part of my time away, there was a real spiritual battle going on. Because I think the enemy was so aware of the danger of any of God's people receiving more and becoming therefore more dangerous in counteracting the enemy's activities. Now, it's not selfish to focus on receiving, so long as you understand that the purpose of receiving is to give away what you've received. That actually the more you've received, the more you have to give away. And that actually the selfish thing is not to receive, because then you will be depriving others of what they could receive through you if you had received more from the Lord. And I've had times in my life when I've spent a lot of time receiving from God. But I would have to say that recently I haven't spent so much time. I've continued to do it, of course, but not so much time as just being in the Lord's presence, receiving from Him. Now, there's a difference from knowing the Lord's presence, which we constantly do here in Kingdom Faith, especially in our worship, both here at Rafi and on Sundays. There's a difference between knowing the presence of God and receiving from Him when you're in the presence of God. And we haven't really accomplished very much if all we have is a sense of His presence. Because God wants to reveal His presence in order to impart. In order to give, because you've probably heard me say before, there was a very famous Anglican bishop just before the last war in the 1930s. He was a man who had a tremendous influence on a great number of people. He had a very particular anointing on his life to call people into the ministry. And you would find that there were lots and lots of people that had been ordained and become ministers because of the influence of this man. And one of the things that he said was that God eternally lives to give Himself. Now you see, that was a great insight into the meaning of saying that He's the God of grace. He eternally lives to give Himself. So why does He reveal His presence? You know, those times when He manifests His presence. It's not just so that we can say, oh, hallelujah, God's around and we got through in worship today. But no, He manifests His presence because He wants to impart something. He wants to give and give and give and give. So that we receive and receive and receive and receive. Now, it isn't that we're receiving what we don't have, but we're receiving what we do have in Christ. This is a kind of a paradox, isn't it? Let me try to put it very simply. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So we have the kingdom within us. Question: how much of the life, the authority, and power of that kingdom is actually being revealed in your life at this moment? We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Question: how much of the life, the love, the power of the Holy Spirit is being manifested in your life at this moment? Compared with the fullness of life that He does have because He is God. The Scripture says we have come to fullness of life in Christ. Jesus came to give us that fullness, and we have received that fullness. So how much of that fullness is actually being revealed and manifested in your life? How full are you of the fullness? Because, you know, when we're full of Him, there's not much room for self. That denying self isn't difficult because there's so much of Him, you don't want to please self, you want to please Him. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the Scripture says this power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead and enabled Him to ascend to heaven. So how much evidence of that power is there in your life at present? How much of that power is flowing out of you as a river of living water to touch the lives of other people? We affirm that Jesus bore our infirmities and our sicknesses. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So if Christ is in us, the healer is within us, the healing is within us. But as I look around, I know many of you, including myself, need to receive more of that healing power from God. Why aren't we receiving that? Is it because God doesn't want to give, or we don't give ourselves the opportunity to receive what he desires to give? Perhaps we don't know how to receive all that he wants to give. And, you know, we can pray in ways which are almost a denial of the truth that he wants to give. Or as if we're encouraging him to do something that he's already done, but although he's done it, we haven't yet received it. So God's had me focus on these five things. The kingdom is within you. My spirit is within you. My life is within you. My power is within you. My healing is within you. All to be given away so we become ambassadors of the kingdom. The power of the Spirit is flowing out of us as rivers of living water. We are imparting life to others. The power of God is flowing through us to meet the needs of other people. And we're not only receiving healing ourselves, but we're becoming ministers of his healing grace to others. So we can rightly affirm, yes, we have been made rich in every way. Paul actually begins that letter to the Corinthians by saying that, you've been enriched in every way. And here he is a few chapters later in chapter 4 saying, you know, I wish you were as rich as you claim that you are. See, it isn't that God hasn't given, but we haven't appropriated and received and don't manifest and show forth in our lives that fullness that he has died to give us. Now, you know, I'm only asking you a few things that God's asked me, but how much time do you spend receiving from God every day? Not just praying, but receiving. Where you're sitting down just receiving. For yourself, for others, that his life and love and power will flow through you, through your prayer, to other people. You see, if God is the God of grace and is so intent to give, it shouldn't be difficult for us to receive. It doesn't take God long to give, but it does take us longer to receive what he wants to give. And ultimately, this becomes a matter of obedience. That we actually are ready to give ourselves the time that we need to receive from him. And there's three reasons for this. First of all, for his glory. Because the more we allow him to impart to us, the more he will be glorified in our lives. And instead of just saying, we have it all, we will manifest more of what we have, which is all in Christ. But it's not just the claims, it's It's demonstrating in our lives what it is that God has imparted to us. So we need to give ourselves time. A section of our prayer time just to receive from God. Now, what's this going to mean? It's not going to mean having wonderful experiences every day. Although I believe that when you do receive, you are very much aware of the presence of God. But no, it is a matter of faith. That if I spend time taking hold of the grace of God in those five ways, and other ways as well, of course, but if I spend time receiving, giving myself the opportunity to receive, then there's going to be more of Him about my life than if I didn't do that. And after all, 5-10 minutes receiving, just think of the benefits that are going to overflow in the rest of your life and your ministry to others. And, you know, God, He wasn't telling me things I didn't know, but so often He has to remind us of what we do know if we're not living as fully in it as He wants. Just reminded me of, you know, He said, well, how did the revival start in Luton? Because you received, and you went on receiving, and every day you received. And the revival at the Hyde. And, you know, God just reminded me of certain things. He said, what was the key to what was happening in all those times? You were receiving. Every day you were receiving. Why? Because every day I was imparting. And every day you expected to receive. Because every day you were trusting in my grace. You weren't just saying, well, we have it all, so let's get round the table and plan what we should do with it. There's a sense in which, you know, God wants us to be so overflowing with the Spirit that we don't have to plan anything. That actually the Spirit of God just causes things to evolve all around us. To sort of allow the Spirit to break free. And now is not the time to talk a lot about this, but I had a conversation with Clive on the phone while I was away about some particular issues. He's probably been speaking to you about them, I don't know, but this sort of sent me back to prayer because I realized that some of the things that God was saying to me were so relevant. It's not just a question of what you do, whether you're doing the right things or whether we corporately as Kingdom Faith are doing the right things or not, but what life, what power, what release of God's Spirit there is in what we're doing. You can be doing the right things and still not see the fruit because you're doing the right things in your strength rather than in His. And just sort of praying about those things is not the total picture, you see, because you can pray about those things, but ultimately what God does in and through us in those situations about which we pray is dependent upon how much of Him we are receiving. You can dress this all up in spiritual language and say, well, how much of the Spirit is really flowing through our lives and all the rest of it. But if you could probably think most of you can probably think back to times when you've had a particular encounter with God. It's as if you've received a fresh anointing from God. And so much has happened. So much happened as a result of that. It was as if you went through a very rich period of time. And prayer was easy and you saw so much more happening and then it sort of all dwindled again and got back to normal. Well, now, what God wants you to understand is that time when you had that fresh anointing, you saw that happening, to him that is normal. And getting back to what we call as normal, to him is not normal, that's subnormal. That normal to him is when he has the freedom to flow through our lives in the way that he desires. So if we can think back to times when the Spirit of God was flowing through us more freely than now, then we're backslidden. We've done the very thing Paul says, you know, be careful not to lose what you do have. Well, wait a minute, if we have it, if we had it and we're not manifesting it now, then somehow we've slipped back. Instead of actually moving on because we've received more, appropriated more, seen greater release. Now, it's not experiences. It really is not experiences. Yeah, there may be some particular moments when you do feel you experience something, but that's not it. When our life in Christ is not dependent upon experiences, but it is dependent upon receiving. And you can receive from God without experiencing anything. How do you know you've received? Because of what you see happen as a result. It's not as if, you know, God goes, there's another blow of my spirit through your life. Oh, hallelujah, wonderful. No, it's just a question of you are in the flow of what God constantly wants to give. And one of the things that really said to me about this, he said, you know, Colin, it doesn't matter what you need to receive from me. It's always got to be through the Spirit because I never give you anything except through the Spirit. So you want healing, you want the answer to some need. What you want is the activity of the Spirit because it's not by power, might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And therefore, you know, we can say, Lord, I need to receive healing. He says, no, you need to receive more of my Spirit. Your focus needs to be on what you need to receive of my Spirit. Why? Because it's my Spirit that is able to give life to your mortal body. Is all this making sense to you? Now, we want God's best, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We don't want any agendas of our own to cut across God's purposes for us. You know, when... let's just turn to Galatians for a moment. Chapter 3. How foolish you Galatians are. Who has cast a spell on you to prevent you from obeying the truth? It was clearly shown to you that Jesus Christ has won complete acceptance for us when he was crucified. So I want you to tell me this. Did you receive the Spirit through obeying the religious law or by responding with faith when you heard the truth about Jesus Christ? Are you really so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to be made perfect through your self-effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If all that has been accomplished is more self-effort. So did the one who gave you the Spirit and who worked miracles among you do so because of your obedience to religious rules and regulations or because you responded with faith when you heard the truth? Now, let's just substitute religious rules and regulations for being the sort of the pattern of life that we have formed for ourselves spiritually. and think, therefore, if we are fulfilling what we believe is to be the right thing for us to be doing in terms of prayer and so on, that's okay. No, Paul is saying, listen, all that you received from Christ came through faith. You heard, you responded with faith, and you received. So do we believe that he's the God of grace? Do we believe in his grace? Do we believe, therefore, that every day he wants to impart grace to us? He wants to give to us. Do we therefore believe that every day it's his purpose that we receive from him? Whether we have a great experience or not doesn't matter, because what we're doing is responding with faith, in faith to what he is saying. So if I spend a few minutes just allowing the truth that the kingdom is within me, and just knowing, just taking hold of scriptures about that, and his spirit is within me, and his fullness of life, and his power, and his love, and his healing grace. If I spend time just receiving by faith in his word, if I get up from my time of prayer, even though I might not have felt anything, but believing I am now more full of kingdom life, of Holy Spirit, of his love and power than I was 10 minutes before. And if I can do that every day of my life, then I'm going to be a person that is appropriating more and more of that grace every day. And I'm going to become one more powerful dude than I was before. It's so simple. But you see, Paul says, What have we achieved if all that it's led to is more self-effort? When we pray, when we try to believe, when we want to overcome. And I'll just finish off with this, because, you know, I was sort of hearing all this from God and receiving from him. And you know how he knows your thoughts from afar. I can remember there was one morning I was praying, and I just had this thought, because God had been speaking about all that people are going to receive during camp. It's going to be a time of tremendous outpouring from God and receiving by his people. But he was talking about this, and I thought to myself, well, what has this got to do with the mighty warrior? You know, I just had the thought, just a passing thought, yeah, it's fine, Lord, but, you know, the theme for camp is mighty warrior. What on earth has this got to do with the mighty warrior? And as clear as anything, the Holy Spirit said everything. That's the whole point. What did the mighty warrior do? He came and picked you up and held you close to himself so that he would carry you through everything that was coming against you. So this is the whole point. That's grace. That if the mighty warrior is at work within us, then we'll be full of kingdom authority and power. We'll be full of life and love. The Holy Spirit will really be in control. Not just nominally, but actually. So every one of us is here because we want God's best. And every one of us here wants to receive everything that God desires to impart. But you know, God has a nifty way of sort of putting things so simply and yet so profoundly. And, you know, sort of upsetting you a little bit along the way, just so you get the point. And at one point he said to me, he said, "I am only the God of grace in your life today if you have received of my grace today." Now, when you think about it, that's right, but you see, I am only the God of grace in your life today if you receive from me today. Because what does it mean to say he's the God of grace? He wants to give. If we believe that he wants to give, then we receive. And if we receive what he wants to give by grace, then he's the God of grace in our lives today. But if we don't receive what he wants to impart afresh day by day, then we're trying to live today in yesterday or last week or last month's grace. Say, yeah, we had a great conference, or we had a great this, that, or the other, or a great first week of term. Now we can go forward in the good of what he did then. But that's living on last month's grace, last term's grace. And you see, what Paul is saying, what God is saying through his apostle, is no, if I'm the God of grace today, I'm the God who gives to you today. And if you believe in my grace, then you receive today. And because you're a people of faith, you believe that you have received. Whether you feel anything, whether you experience anything, or whether you don't, you believe that you not have received sometime in the past, but you've received today what he has for you today. So let's just put our books away, shall we? Let's just stay seated for a moment. As you know, the best way to receive from God is when you're relaxed. Not when you go to sleep, but when you're not striving, when you're not struggling, when you're not straining, when you're not praying a whole lot of words, when you're not trying to tell God what to do and how to do it, when you're not reminding the Lord of his theology, but when just humbly you draw near to him, you are before him, and you receive the fresh impartation of the fullness that is yours in Christ. So just close your eyes and just know that God is saying to you, because the Spirit will always do it through the Word, won't he? My kingdom is within you. Today, my kingdom is within you. My kingdom life, my kingdom authority, my kingdom power is within you. Now you see, he wants that kingdom power that's in your spirit to get released through your soul and to pour out of your body as rivers of living water. My kingdom is within you. Today. My spirit is within you. So he wants his Spirit to fill your thinking, to fill your decision making, to fill every aspect of your soul. So just, my Spirit is within you. So my Spirit can flow out of you as rivers. My life is in you. See, is faith rising up within you? Not a feeling, not an emotion, but faith, yes. The kingdom is within me. The Spirit is within me. His life is in me. Not I, but Christ in me. I don't have to do anything. The life of Christ in me will do it. My power is within you. My power, not your self-effort, but my power. My healing is within you. Just thank Him that He is the mighty warrior. He has taken hold of you, lifted you up, holds you close to Himself. Thank you, Jesus. Now just let go of your plans, trying to get God to do things your way. Work out for you what you want. And just affirm to Him now, yes, Lord, your kingdom is within me for your purposes. For your kingdom purposes to be worked out in my life. Thank you that you have given me your Spirit to enable me to walk close to you, at one with you. For you to live in me and express your life through me. Thank you, Lord, that your life is within me so I can now overflow with your life. That I will be touching the lives of other people with your life today. Not with my life, but with your life, Lord. Thank you that your power is within me, not to be wasted, not just so that I can say, oh, I've received the power of God. But Lord, I thank you that that power is going to be demonstrated today in whatever ways are right and appropriate. Thank you, Lord, it's not a matter of self-effort, but of your power. Your Spirit, the power of your Spirit. Thank you that you say, you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you. Well, Lord, I thank you, your Spirit is upon me. Your power is there within me. Lord, I just want to appropriate all I need of your power for today. Thank you, Lord, your healing is in me. Your love is in me. Your peace is in me. Because you are in me. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just stand and begin to praise the Lord, thank the Lord. Boratabaria sitri santuma. Boratabaria sitri santuba kala sitri santuba. Boratabaria sitri santuma. Now, we're just going to make an agreement with God now concerning our minds. The scripture says that we are to think about everything that is good and praiseworthy in God's eyes. So let's just agree with him now that our minds are not going to be focused on what we want. Ah, it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to actually see it outward. But, you know, this is the kind of thing where we have to see that ongoing activity of God. Lord, it's not what I want, it's what you want. I'm not going to focus, I'm not going to fantasize around what I want. I'm not going to let my mind dwell upon things that I want or things that would feed my flesh or things that would simply satisfy my soul. I'm going to focus on what is good and wholesome and right and praiseworthy in your sight. That good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And I thank you, Lord, for a renewing of my mind. So that my whole mindset is focused on your grace and of realizing that by your grace you will impart to me and give to me everything I need, that when I step out in faith, your grace will be there so that you will do it, not I doing it. But you will do it in me, you will do it through me. That kingdom will be evidence, the Spirit will be evidence, the life will be evidence, the power will be evidence, the healing will be evidenced. Purataparia situri sataria baparazatuba. Borataparia situri saratuba karasituri sanduma. Brostakaria situri sanduba karasituri sanduma. Boratapari esituri saratu bakara situri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty God you are. Kuratapari esatu bakara situri. Come on, let's really praise him for that grace that he lavishes upon us. Praise. That he wants to give and give and give and give and give and give. And Lord, thank you that we can receive, 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 receive. That you're the God of grace in our lives today. Thank you, Lord. Tutapari esituri santo bakara sitapa. Buratapari esituri sara tupakara sitri santo. Pura la la basatari elera bakara sitri santo. Buratapari azatu bakara sitri santo. Now thank you that you meet that need in my life today, Lord, by your Spirit. Can you praise God for that? Can you exercise your faith now? Just thank him. It's by his Spirit. Your Spirit is at work within me, Lord, to give life to my mortal body today, to meet every need in my life today, to flow out of me as a river of life to others today. I praise you for your Spirit, Lord. Kara tapari azituri sanduma. Bora tapari azituri sanduba kara azituri sanduma. Bora tapari azituri sanduba kara azituba. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la bazata para azituri sanduba kara azituri sanduma. Baralala basuturi sarato bara zato bakala zinoma. Borata pare esituri santo bakara esituri sandoma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Porea la patari eletu bakara esituri sandoma. Borata pare esituri sarato bakara esituri sandoma. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful Lord you are. Praise you, Jesus, that you never come to the end of your giving. Praise you, Lord. Para te pariese turi saratu bakarazito pa. Oh. Thank you, Lord. There's going to be no more striving, but just that resting in you, that rest of faith, that knowing you're in complete control, you are in charge, that you are the Lord in our lives. You are the Lord in Kingdom Faith. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your provision, which is another work of your grace. Thank you that, Lord, your grace is so abundant that the provision is abundant. So I thank you, Lord, for abundant provision. Abundance in the lives of every one of us so that there is more for us to give. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are able to make all grace abound to us. So that in all things, at all times, having all we need, we will abound in every good work. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, rasata parasito balatuba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pura la la basuturisan. Thank you, Lord, you're always more ready to give than we are to receive. We want our receiving to match your grace so that we don't miss anything that you want to impart to us through your word, by your Spirit. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, you're the God of grace in our lives today. Praise you, Lord. Come on, let's just exalt him. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.